Hello and welcome to the Andrew Hines Real Estate Investing Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor, Control and Compound.
Here's how infinite banking works in under 60 seconds. You have to save your money somewhere. Well, we think the best place to save it is inside a cash value life insurance policy. You save some money in there, it grows tax-free for the rest of your life. Then an opportunity or emergency comes along. Let's say a few years down the road, you can buy a business, buy a property, buy an income-producing asset. You leverage the infinite banking policy, borrow against your asset, take advantage of the opportunity. But your money still stays in the infinite banking policy. You're not borrowing your money, you're borrowing the insurance company's money. So your money's in the policy, it's in the opportunity, and it's providing a death benefit. Rinse and repeat, you get to retirement, you have this massive cash value life insurance, leverage that tax-free, and you don't repay those loans. You sit on the beach and you spend that money tax-free every month. Doesn't show up on a tax return, and you leave your family a huge tax-free death benefit.
For more information, visit www.controllingcompound.com/Andrew Hines.
Today, I have a bit of a change-up for you. So I was talking with my social media video editor, podcast business development manager, so to speak, and we were talking about what it was that it would take to really take the podcast to the next level. You know, what's the next right step? And one of the things we both agreed on was that I really don't share enough about myself on this podcast. This podcast is pretty much all straight to business and there's no real time. And although I do, you know, talk pretty candidly during the interviews about myself, the interviews are obviously about my guests. And there's a room for a deeper connection with my audience. And I've really not done a great job at that. So a couple of things I was going to point out to you is like, just with my email list, with my followers on Instagram, there's been very limited opportunities to really connect and limited opportunities for me to sort of add value back in a more personalized way. And what I'm going to start doing is, for now, we're going to trial out a midweek episode, which is really just going to be me talking, and it's going to be about me personally, what I'm working on, what I'm learning about, what I'm seeing in the market, random thoughts, might not all be real estate related. As you know, real estate is sort of my bread and butter. It's what I've really focused on for many, many years, better part of over a decade at this point. And it's still firmly what I believe generates wealth for people. But the way I look at real estate is a lot different than I used to. And I'll give you some stories, but you know, just tell you kind of what's going on recently in my life. We came down to Florida at the end of January. We're now in March as I record this, and we've booked our trip back for the end of March. So big thing for me is like, I kind of get depressed in the gray. So being down here and having the opportunity to be down here for an extended period of time has been a lot of fun. And I've sort of taken it as an opportunity. We're down here with my wife and my son. And then his grandmother also came down. So we're having lots of family time. And fortunately enough, I have a separate office that I can work out of here while I'm here at my mother-in-law's place. So we've been, you know, taking time. We've been meeting up with Matt Pichet, who's also down here. I nudged him back in the day to buy a place here when he was looking for a place to find in Florida during the lockdowns. And, you know, we were talking and we got to talking about off market. And I've been really looking at off market strategies down here in Florida because I don't really want to grow my business in Canada anymore. And if you've been following the podcast, you know, you've heard me say that. And I saw an opportunity. You know, we got on a call, Matt and I were chatting, and he just said, "Hey, show me about what you're doing in off market." And we started brainstorming. We decided, "Hey, let's put together some campaigns together. You know, we'll sort of hedge our downside by splitting the marketing costs, drive the whole thing forward together." And you know, what I really loved about it is like, Matt's a force of nature. He's been on this podcast a bunch of times, and the guy just absolutely crushes. Like, you know, he's a doer. And, you know, where I might be on the over analytical side sometimes, I think that for me, I looked at that as like, hey, that's a common sense move. That would make a lot of sense. I think we'll have a lot of complementary skill sets there. So that's what we've put our heads towards doing. So if you've been following me for the last little while, you know, I was sending off-market mailers for land. I did have varying levels of success, although not yet profitable on that front. And one of the things I was noticing is that a lot of people were doing the same thing. So if you're a seller and you're getting an offer, you know, let's call it what it is, a lowball offer on your land for a quick cash closing, and you get a lot of those type of letters, you sort of get numbed out to it. So for me, it was a great entryway to get into doing that, because I look at real estate, you know, getting back to what I said before, I look at real estate differently these days. We're in an age where you can no longer rely on appreciation. You can't expect it. It can't be part of your business plan, because if it is, you're going to have a rude awakening. So as this was all unfolding over the last many years, because when the lockdown started, I knew that it was going to end in inflation. I just didn't fully see how immediate the effects on the real estate value would be. That was my oversight. But I knew that we were going to have issues, and I knew at some point we were not going to be able to rely on appreciation. Certainly what we were having, those 5 to 10% a year in Ontario, even 30% a year up until like 2021, was not sustainable. It was saving people who were not savvy. So I, you know, through deductive reasoning, assumed that the ones that are going to continue to be successful in real estate are the ones that are going to be able to be profitable in spite of potential stagnation and depreciation. So that's where my head's at. And because of that, I set out to learn off-market buying. I wanted to be able to earn money on the buy. Because if you followed me for some time, you know, I'm the guy that'll develop something, build something. I'll go into year-long projects, multi-year projects. In our hospitality resort up in Tobermory, we're in a multi-year profitability plan. And I don't want to do things like that across the board. I want to be profitable quicker. Yes, you can have some long-term plays. And, you know, again, those who follow me know, I talk about the short-term money, the medium money, the long-term money. Short-term money is obviously not priority number one, because if you can't put food on the table, you got an issue. For me, I've always prioritized longer-term money, never been a big fan of short-term money. And I'm sort of forcing myself to, you know, switch that gear and let's focus on profit first, quick profits first, and then build out those, you know, those systems and convert them into long-term plays as well. So I've basically been going to university down here, like, and I, you know, figuratively, the University of Real Estate in the US. And let me tell you, it's impressive. It makes everything Canadians are doing seem small time. Granted, you could take the strategies you learn down here and to some degree apply them in Canada and have success. And if you could, you know, you'd have an open playing field. There's not really anybody doing it. So there are people down here that are absolutely savage. Any strategy that you know about, usually other people know about it too, especially if it's a mainstream strategy. It's when you niche down that you have more success, in my estimation. And that's across anything I've done in real estate. My successes have been when I can take something that works and I can put my own spin on it, or take my own angle, or become a specialist in a certain area of that. And what I see down here, so I've been doing the land with mailers. Now I'm seeing, okay, everybody else is doing that. And yes, it can still work. And I still did tie up a deal and I assigned it. And that deal would have actually been a profitable one for me to do, but it was just early on and I wanted to partner in on this deal. So I actually offered it to a guy who put some education out there, and he'd been on my podcast. His name's Pete Reese. So I took his course. It was a free course after he came on my podcast, and I was really impressed by it. And I figured, you know what? I'll do it. I have an assistant who has some spare time. I had her take the course, roll out the program. So she's been running everything. Jane's been really great with this. And I just figured, hey, I'm going to learn something. You know, we'll give it, we'll throw, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 at it, see where it goes. After I hit the $10,000 in marketing spend, I started to realize, okay, I want to see something coming in. I want to see an indication that there's a success coming. Otherwise, I want to pivot and I want to do things a little bit differently. Well, we hit that point where I was open to a better way, and I started networking a bit more. I found guys that were doing, you know, cold calling. So long story short, I found a cold calling center that's actually going to be cold calling a list of 10,000 plus people that were skip traced. So you can download people's information. You can find out who's the owner of properties using online software in a matter of minutes. You can then skip trace those people in a matter of minutes, and you can scrub out, you know, potential litigators and things like that. And you can find their emails and their phone numbers in these skip traces. These are all things that, I mean, to my knowledge, you can't do in Canada, but you can do it down here. And then you can give that list to a call center who will then call on your behalf and bring leads in the door. So that's what we're doing. So we're rolling that out, and we've built a team, Matt and I, mainly, you know, because of him, because Matt's already done this in Canada significantly. My off-market acquisition has always been a very informal. I've done, you know, a handful. I've sent out flyers, varying degrees of success. Never something I had enough systems to do with consistency. One of the things, of course, that you would have heard me talk about if you listened to this podcast for a while is that my son was a catalyst for me to really start leaning on teams and start hiring teams. Well, that's continued, but then I also know Matt, it was very much the same for him. When he found out he was having a son, he started hiring out everything. So the two of us have sort of shifted gears to business building by building teams. And Matt's done it obviously extremely well with the off-market acquisition in Kitchener. So we're taking those skills down here, combining what I've been doing with what he's been doing, and we'll see where it goes. You know, it's an initial venture. That's all. We really talked it through. We're going to roll this out. And really though, like for me, I don't want to play small. Like I want to scale this to, you know, really millions of dollars, like millions of dollars, $1 million a month would be a great goal. And obviously, like, this is coming from a point of only having, you know, a couple of contracts tied up, a deal assigned. But I've seen a glimmer of what it could do, and I've seen a glimmer of what it could be. And it's inspiring the way people are down here, the amount of strategies. I just did an episode of REI Hot Seat. And if you're not following that show, it's a YouTube only show right now. And I highly recommend you check it out. I talked about the tools that exist for American real estate investors or Canadians investing in the US or anyone else investing in the US for that matter. It's kind of absurd, the information you can get. And this is one of the reasons that I really like the US for going forward. But I also acknowledge that it's a double-edged sword. When everyone else has access to information, you know, everybody's going to do a similar thing. Not everybody, I say that figuratively, but a lot of people are going to be doing the same thing you're doing. So you have to find your angle. You have more competition. But I don't think it's that hard to stand out with professionalism and consistency. I think, you know, no matter what, the person who shows up every single day and makes the calls every day or outreach or sends out the mail every single day or every single week, those are the ones that'll survive and thrive. So that's what we're deciding to do here. We're going to roll this out with the consistency, roll it out with systems and see where it goes. I mean, you never know what the future might bring, and I'm always paying attention and learning. So if I see a reason or a need to pivot, I will pivot. And I will adjust, but constantly learning, constantly growing. And so that's the start of some of the stuff I wanted to share just about what we're up to. But I'll just expand a little bit more on some of the situations that you could go after down here in the States and some of the things that I immediately see are a value of, you know, a value to Canadians, because there's so many Canadians that I know of right now that it's like the US is all they're talking about. And the realtors that used to pitch investors on Canadian investments have been slowly shifting gears to find a way to monetize pitching people on US investing. Well, I'm just going to throw out some gold nuggets that I have absolutely no way of monetizing. It's just me sharing what I'm seeing. And the one thing that I think is the most exciting for individual home purchases, and even at a bigger scale, is the concept of subject to. So basically down here, people will buy houses in distressed situations and they'll take over the mortgage payment, but they won't take the mortgage off the property, nor will they take it out of the seller's name. So the seller's name stays on. And in the US, the nice thing is you've got 30-year mortgages. So you could basically take over somebody's mortgage on year 27, pay them nothing, but get them out of the deal, maybe bring the mortgage up to date. So maybe the mortgage is behind on payments by 3 or 6 months and the seller's about to go into foreclosure. If you can save that seller from foreclosure and save them from having that ding on their credit, they would probably be motivated to allow you to do this whole subject to concept. And there's other reasons people might do it, especially if you're confident with how you pitch it. Because obviously there's tons of objections, like who would say yes to something like that? Who would allow someone to buy the property from them and leave the mortgage in place and stay on their credit for the next 20 some odd years? And you know, you'd have to put yourself into a situation by situation scenario to figure out who that person would be. But there's definitely scenarios, and it's very common down here. It's you know, it's still like, yeah, you know, obviously lots of title companies, lots of lawyers are not going to even know what it is, but there are others that actually specialize in it. And like anything that's unique, the people who can explain it and teach it the best, tell the stories with it the best, are the ones that are going to have success with it. The people who can come with confidence and master the hardest sale, which you've probably heard me say, is the sale of yourself. When you sell yourself on a concept, when you sell yourself on your own value and your own solution making, that's when you can sell others. But if you're not sold, you won't sell somebody else. So first things first would be to understand that concept if you're interested in utilizing it. But I'll give you an idea of what it could be used for. So you go in, you find a property, you know, say it needs $10,000 to bring the mortgage up to date. And, you know, maybe you want to give the seller 10 grand in closing costs to help motivate them to want to do this deal with you. You probably not necessary, but I mean, I think anybody is going to need move, at least money to go move and pay first and last month's rent on another place. And you provide them with that solution. So say you're into the deal for 20 grand and you were able to take over a mortgage at a 2.5% or 2.25% rate for the next 27 years, 26 years, whatever's left on that mortgage. And maybe you don't really pick up any equity. Maybe, in fact, after doing that, you've overpaid for the property. And I'm not encouraging this, but I am going to say my thoughts on that. I think for me, I'd do that deal, depending on the property. If I like the property, if I can Airbnb that property when I'm not there, I've checked into the laws. I'm very confident that I have a good strategy to cash flow when I'm not there. I'd love to pick up a place of my own down here in Naples doing it exactly that way. So that's one thought. And if you're paying those low rates compared to what Canadians are normally going to pay, like a Canadian coming down here to get a mortgage is probably going to be close to 10% on a long-term 30-year mortgage, or you take over somebody else's. And yeah, lots of people aren't going to be open to that strategy because it's not going to be a fit for them. It's a value to a certain type of people who want to get more. So, I mean, I think it works really well with an either or offer. So, hey, I can do a cash number, what's like 50% of what your property's worth right now, closing really quick, or I could come up to, you know, your requested sales price if you're willing to offer that term, if you're willing to offer me terms. So, like I said, the information down here is plentiful. There's tons of people giving it away for free, which means more people are more skilled and more capable. You know, it definitely would pay to be an earlier mover, but even as a late mover, you can stand out with professionalism. That's my take. Having been focused pretty much on the US for, 3 years now? I've been checked out of Canada mentally outside of our hospitality resort, which obviously I'm very excited about in a lot of ways. And then obviously it's been challenging in a lot of ways because when I was going in, I'm like, there's got to be a way we can be profitable in the first year. And long story short, we weren't. And a lot of that was, you know, just not realizing the degree to which we would need to hire, you know, the full degree to which our expenses would soar and what would be involved in transitioning that camp away from its current use or its previous use to its current use now, which is primarily a glamping facility. So that's been a really fun venture in terms of learning and creativity. And then, running a hospitality business is a business. It's not real estate. I'm sure you've heard other people say that. It's a business attached to real estate. Many of you will know that we acquired a second location, which we're going to be developing. That's called Neptune's Hideaway on the west coast of that Bruce Peninsula. And that one, we're presently getting designs done up for a site plan. We have as of right zoning to build many more cottages on it. So it's approximately 9 acres, and we had a mock-up for 40 additional units. We're not going to go anywhere near that. We want to really keep it quaint and, you know, spacious and very nature-esque. So we're going to do something that's a pretty big compromise on that. But we're really excited about what we could do and just creating sort of a wellness hospitality getaway that will function year-round in the Tobermory area. So we nerd out on that a lot. Like we're constantly looking at these resorts, these Airbnb destinations, and that's the vision for that location. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking at creating like A-frame cabins You know, they're going to be around 500 square feet, hot tub. There's going to be a centralized like fire pit, hot tub, cold plunge, sauna, everything all in one location. And then, of course, it's waterfront. So it's going to be one of those things where there's not a whole lot like it out there. It's a pretty big endeavor, but we're excited to see what we can do. And, you know, I've concluded that so much of success comes from mindset and never willing to take no, never willing to admit defeat. And then, of course, having a big enough vision. And if you don't say your vision, then how could you ever accomplish it? And for me, of course, I've struggled. I've had my struggles with that. I think not speaking my vision enough is definitely a negative. And one of the things I like about doing this is you guys can hold me accountable. I'm going to be a little bit more vulnerable on these, and that's not an easy thing for me. I mean, I know I talk and say things on the podcast, and I think I have that visionary ability, but haven't really utilized it to the degree that I should have. And I'm excited to share more about this, share more about what I'm learning. I hope you got some value out of this. Like, this is by far, like, this is going back to episode one, kind of like out of the box for me on this show. I don't want it to be so systematic. You know, so many of these episodes, like, I'm straight into, you know, this is episode whatever. Well, you know, I guess we'll call these B episodes. I don't know, like, number wise, I haven't completely thought that through. For now, we're just going to put it out there and see how it evolves. But I'm excited at the idea that I've really changed things. Like, I've changed things in that now I'm really, really bringing in the help. Artem, who joined my team about, what, 3-4 months ago now, he's been a big asset to the team. What he does with the podcast, with my socials, like, if you've been following my socials, he's been helping me really take that to the next level. I hope you're enjoying it. And if you have feedback for me, feel free to connect. You know, you can connect on Instagram at the Andrew Hines. Any of the socials, I'm more present now. You know, if you want to hit me up on LinkedIn or Twitter, you can. You know, full disclosure, I'm not fantastic at Twitter yet. But I do think that there's room to grow there. So yeah, let me know what you think of the direction. If you think that if there's other things you'd like me to build in, keeping in mind that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to build systems around it. So I like simple changes to implement, but I'm also open to the bigger vision too, if it's worthwhile. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. And full disclosure, I don't know exactly where this will go, but I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope it gave you a little bit of a glimpse into what I'm up to right now and make it a little bit easier to find that information if you're curious. So let me know if there's more things you want me to expand on. And I will certainly do my best. And until next week, of course, until the weekend for the formal interview episode. But until next week, I'll sign off here and I will talk to you then.
And now a word from our sponsor, Control and Compound.
Infinite banking in under 60 seconds. We've all got to save our money somewhere, and we think that a high cash value life insurance policy is the perfect place to save it. Why? We're going to save our money inside this policy, and it's going to grow tax-free. Down the road, we're going to get hit with an emergency or an opportunity, maybe a chance to buy a business, real estate property, an income-producing asset. And instead of withdrawing from our savings account, we're going to leverage that asset. We're going to borrow the insurance company's money, and we're going to invest in that opportunity. Our money is still inside of that policy, compounding uninterrupted tax-free, and our money's outside in this investment opportunity. We're going to rinse and repeat, all while providing a death benefit for our families. Down the road, we're going to retire. Now we retire with a high cash value life insurance policy with a lot of cash. We're going to start taking those policy loans again, but this time we're never going to pay them back. When I say never, I mean we're going to pay them back with the death benefit when we die, and our families are going to get left with the rest completely tax-free.
For more information, visit www.controllingcompound.com/Andrew Hines.